Om Shri Sai Ram. My most humble pranams at the lotus feet of the voice and the listener of Radio Sai Global Harmony, our heart and soul Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba. I am Raghu from Team Radio Sai, greeting you all, wishing you all, dear listeners, a very good morning and loving Sai Rams and a warm welcome to today's Thursday Live. This live broadcast is coming to you from Radio Sai Studios in Prashanthi Nilayam, the spiritual capital of the universe. This is the segment Morning Glory. And as Sister Karuna is away, even this week I am glad and I thank Swami for giving this opportunity for hosting this segment, the first segment of Thursday Live. The time right now in our studio is 9:40 a.m. Indian Standard Time and today is 6th of September 2018. Just now, about 10 minutes ago, the bhajan session concluded in Sai Kurant Hall and the Vedam session and bhajan session came to you live through Asia stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. And dear listeners, I hope you all enjoyed the Vedam and bhajan session this morning. And as I'm speaking to you right now, Swami's devotees have gathered in Sai Kurant Hall and are lined up to offer their pranams to Swami. Yesterday was 5th of September, one of the most memorable day, as it was the Teacher's Day. A teacher is a friend, philosopher and guide who holds our hands, opens our mind and touches our heart. The contribution of a teacher cannot be ignored at all. In many countries across the world, Teacher's Day is a special day where teachers of schools, colleges and universities are honored specially. The date varies from country to country. The universally accepted World Teachers' Day is celebrated on 5th of October. In India, the Teachers' Day is celebrated on 5th of September, which happened to be yesterday. And this tradition started from 1962. This is when Dr. Sarvepalli Radhakrishnan was born. He was a philosopher, scholar, teacher and politician, and his dedicated work towards education made his birthday an important day in the history of India. We remember the great work of this exemplary person on this day, as Teacher's Day. Well, dear listeners, talking about teachers, the teachers of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, that is the teachers of Swami's educational institutions, are very, very unique. Once, Justice Venkatachalaya, who happened to be at the time the Chancellor of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, when he was giving his convocation address, referred to teachers of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning as Acharyas. Later, when he was asked as to why he made this reference of teachers of Swami's educational institutions as Acharyas, then he explained, "It seems, by definition given by Kalidasa in one of his verses, Acharyas, only a certain set of people are eligible to be called as Acharyas. Those people who want to share their knowledge purely because of their love for their students, who wants to share their knowledge selflessly, based on their true concern for the welfare of the students. So people who have this quality are eligible to be called as Acharyas." And Justice Venkatachalaya, the Chancellor of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, when he had interacted with the different teachers of Swami's educational institution, found this quality to be present in all the teachers of Swami's educational institution. And we are lucky, in fact, I was lucky to be a part of the student of the teachers, of such teachers, of such Acharyas. And today I take the opportunity to wish all the teachers of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning a happy Teacher's Day. In fact, a belated happy Teacher's Day, because today is 6th of September and yesterday was 5th of September. All right, dear listeners, with that, let's come to the segment Morning Glory. And today, as always, I have got two very nice interviews lined up for you for next one hour 50 minutes, that is till 11 a.m. And always, there will be two interviews. One will be from the radio series Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories. That is a conversation with Sai student. And another interview will be the from the radio series Trust with Divinity. That will be a conversation with Sai devotee. But today, there's small change. Today, both the interviews will be episodes from the series Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories. So you can listen to two Swamis, old students who will be sharing their experiences with us. In fact, dear listeners, in Radio Sai website, there are more than 250 such conversations. You can download them and listen to them at your leisure also. All right. So at the top of the hour, I got the second part of the conversation with Brother Gyan Bhaskar. The first part was played last week. And after this conversation, I got another conversation with Brother Shashank Subramanyam. And that will be the first part of the conversation. All right, dear listeners, let's listen to these conversations. And I'll be back again at 11 a.m. with the next segment of the day. That is Soul Inspirations. Happy listening.
I mean, you saw that in a divine way, he was always looking after you. But now, personally, he took charge of you.
Yes.
And you felt that. You know, at the physical level, you felt that he is completely in charge.
In charge.
Though he was always in charge.
He was always in charge.
But, you know, he allowed you to know now that don't worry. If I am there, whether anything can happen, anything can crumble in your life, but don't worry. I am yes. there.
He may or may not do exactly what you want him to do, but that doesn't stop him from taking care of us.
Yes.
So I recall one particular, these are many such incidents. One thing comes to my mind. We were in the bhajan, evening bhajan, and bhajans were going on. Swami had already given darshan as usual, and he probably went around second time. And he was already in the bhajan hall sitting on the throne, and I was praying here fervently that Swami should bless my mother. She was in a critical state in Chennai.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of a sudden, Swami walks out of the bhajan hall. He walks up to me, walks on the VIP veranda, comes up to me, calls me and tells me, tell your mother that she has abundant grace of Bhagavan. Swami daya dandiga undani cheppu.
Wow.
He tells me that.
And this was just silent prayer.
Silent prayer. Out of the blue, he gets up from his throne in the bhajan hall, from the bhajan hall, walks up to me, and he says this, tell her that she has abundant grace of Bhagavan. So these kind of simple acts, it's one sentence that he spoke, but I know how much that would have meant for my mother when I told her that. And how much it meant for us. You talked about Swami physically acknowledging the prayers and things like that. So things like this, there were numerous such incidents when he used to do that. And I am 100% certain that there were several other students to whom he has done these kinds of things. Thousands of people whom he has done. So when each one shares their story, you see one constant factor in all of their stories.
Yes.
And that is Bhagavan and his love for his devotees.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm really tempted to ask you to go to detail because, you know, it's such a moving story where, you know, as Swami says, you know, when you cannot understand one mother's love, how will you understand a thousand mother's love? And in your life, he literally took the role of a mother, you know, and not only ensured that whatever your mother is going through, she goes through that in a much more positive and happier frame of mind. At the same time, giving you that confidence that, you know, nothing is going to get lost. I am there. I think that only Swami can do. Nobody yeah. else in the world can do that.
Right. So, in fact, yeah, even after my mother passed away, in fact, during that difficult period, I cannot ever say enough about the amount of grace and love and blessings that he gave us. He literally carried us through that difficult period of all of us, myself, my brother, and we survived only because of Swami's love.
Wow. so you went on and you got your PhD here. So is there a story there about how you went on to do your PhD?
Well, the story was that Swami told me that he will give me admission to PhD program. Of course, it was my fervent prayer all along that to be in his presence. I'm not speaking for myself, I'm speaking for all of us at that time.
Anything to stay longer.
Anything to stay longer in his presence. So if we did master's program, it was because it will give us 2 more years.
Yes.
And of course, that was in those days, PhD was not a requirement to become a faculty member in the earlier years.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, oh, okay, let's do master's so that we can be faculty member and teach. But by mm-hmm. the time we got to master's, mm-hmm. the requirement became PhD in order to be a faculty member at the university level.
Mm-hmm.
So then we said, okay, in that case, we will do PhD.
Yes.
But then the admission to the PhD program, Swami used to handpick students and only
yes.
those who
Correct.
Swami has allowed would be taken as the PhD students. And I'm grateful that Swami has... it was during that time when my mother passed away also. And Swami said that he will admit me as a PhD student. So that was the story.
Hmm.
And of course, I'm grateful to my PhD advisor, Dr. Venkateslu, about whom we have been talking all through this day, today, at the university.
The silver anniversary celebration of the Department of Maths
right.
and Computer Science.
That's right. So, a lot of things that happened were due to the direct physical advice and intervention of Bhagwan and his guidance and his love and blessings.
And so you, after your PhD, of course, it's a great moment getting your PhD on Bhagwan's 65th birthday celebrations. You must be having a beautiful photograph.
Yes, I do. I do.
And so after that, Swami gave the opportunity for you to stay on. I mean, you longed for it.
I longed for it. And thankfully, actually, I even before I got the degree awarded at the convocation. Formally, my PhD viva was over and I was declared successful in that. So that is actually the formal
yes.
Completion of my PhD. So Swami told me that go to the college and start teaching from the next day. So I think it was Ganesh Chaturthi day and mm-hmm. following day Swami said go and start teaching.
So you were in the hostel?
I was not in the hostel. I was in the old hostel at that time.
Okay, when you were teaching?
When I was, because that was a transition period. My PhD, viva was, he was over.
Mm.
So with that, I complete my PhD.
Yes.
So that means I am no longer a student.
Yeah.
So I had to move out.
Yes.
So I moved into the old hostel because I was an old student.
Yes.
And then within a few days, Swami told that, okay, go to the college and start teaching.
Yes.
So now I become a faculty.
Mm.
But then I continued to stay on in the old hostel and for reasons obvious because you get the darshan both morning, evening.
Evening, yeah.
And then, but eventually within a couple of months, I think Swami told, go to the hostel.
Hmm.
And as you know, he would want the faculty yes. members to live with the students and things like that.
So what are your some of the beautiful moments in the hostel? If someone were to ask you, you know, you had the opportunity to be in the hostel for so many years. Is there anything that you cherish about being in the hostel? Is there any way the hostel has instilled some things in you which you carry even now?
The spirit of brotherhood is what I would say, that looking out for others and not just thinking for oneself, and that feeling that I'm living there with my family. See, we never missed our home at the hostel. So once we were here, even though vacation is to come, college would be closed, no classes will be held, and Swami would have to force us to go home.
I know.
He would say, go home, go home, go home, and we don't want to go home.
We are already in home. We are already at home.
Exactly. So that see oneness with others in the sense. Mm-hmm. We are all one family kind of a thing.
And it happens so naturally.
So there were students from different states whose native languages are different. None of that ever even crossed our mind that, okay, this person speaks a different language. Of course, we all used to converse in English, but the native language is what
yes.
I'm saying.
Yes.
They are from different state from in India. Some of them used to be from abroad.
Mm.
Those things never even occurred to us.
We never thought of it. There were also never groupisms in the hostel.
No.
Right? You think, okay, we three are from Telugu students or we four are Bengali students. We never felt like that, isn't it?
Never on those lines.
Yes.
Never on those lines. It is possible that a few people are closer friends than with everybody. You can't be closest friend with everybody else.
Yes.
Everybody around. But few people could be close friends, but they were not based on those things.
Yes, yes. I think, so that oneness is something that came naturally.
Naturally.
Being in the hostel organically. And perhaps that is, this is something, when you reflect on now, has it in any way impacted you as you went on and left the portals? We'll come to that. You should definitely share about, you know, you moving to IIT Kanpur and IIT Delhi. I think those stints in such premier institutions definitely would have been great learning experiences for you after, you know, building on what Bhagwan gifted you here. So maybe you should share some of those experiences too.
The contrast was evident as to how different the lifestyle and the attitudes and how the students interacted with each other in the hostels. So it was very different, I would say, when I went to IIT Kanpur.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say that I was feeling out of place.
Mm-hmm.
I was definitely, I found the kind of people whose ideas and ideals were in sync with what I thought I had imbibed here in Prashanthi Nilayam. So I didn't feel out of place, but I could see the differences in the manner in which the students interacted with themselves.
Hmm.
And so there was no that, it's not the same.
Yeah.
I mean, they also felt that it is their hostel, but then they wouldn't probably do the way like we did in self. They wouldn't go to the kitchen and cut vegetables.
Yes.
They wouldn't go and clean the corridors or anything like that. There were employees for doing those things.
Yes.
Janitors and things like that.
Yes.
So, see, these things, while they may seem small, but if I sweep a corridor, if I sweep my room and keep it clean, or if I go to the kitchen and cut vegetables for that day's meal, these are small acts.
Yes.
But these are the acts that make one feel that it is their home.
Yes.
And that's what made the hostel a unique place.
Hmm. Wow. And life then took you to the US?
Yes.
So maybe you should share some of this journey about how this transition happened. Did you really work for it, or it just happened and you saw that you're just going with the flow?
No, I definitely didn't seek to move to US.
Mm.
Let me just say that things happened. I had a Department of Science and Technology fellowship called Boys Cast Fellowship, some better opportunities for young scientists, and I had applied for that, and I got the scholarship when I was at IIT Delhi. So I went for a 6-month visit to US, and my goal in applying for that was precisely that I wanted to build on my research and expand on my research work and things like that. So that was my first trip to US. But there was never any desire to move to US permanently. That, I see, when I look back, I see it as entirely Swami's design.
So, there are a lot of transitions that have happened in your life. You know, you are leaving the portals of Bhagwan's institution, then you moving from one IIT to another IIT, then you moving from India to the US. So when you look at all these transitions and now finally coming back to Prashanthi Nilayam and contributing here, what are those significant events relating to these transitions? And, you know, and if you can share about how you reflect your life when you look at all these dots that have happened and the way it has all connected.
Well, like I said, I never intended to move to US permanently. But once I went there, I was really touched by the extraordinary amount of love that devotees whom I came into contact with have for Swami.
Mm-hmm.
And that really touched me.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them who have seen Swami for just once in their life,
mm-hmm.
from a far off distance. Some of them who probably never saw Swami, but they only heard of his stories. They only felt his love in their lives. And so this was really a very impressionable thing to me. And I got more and more involved with the Sai activities in our local Sai center, which is the Palmbay Sai Center in Palmbay, Melbourne area in Florida. And it's a small group of devotees, very devoted, very dedicated. And so I started interacting with them, and then I began to see how far has Swami's message spread and how it has transformed lives of people. Some who feel that just coming into contact with Swami, their lives got transformed.
Mm.
When I say coming into contact with Swami, they would hear a discourse from Bhagavan and their lives are transformed.
Mm.
They have one darshan from a far off distance and their lives are. When I hear such stories, I was really touched and I was really affected by that Swami's reach. And for 12 long years I was here in Prashanthi Nilayam. You might be surprised to hear that I never gave a public speech. But as Swami would have it, I started speaking in the U.S. Again, not by my own volition. Somehow it happened. And I now feel that it is obligatory on my part to share the things that I have learned here. And however few they may be, and I have learned, not learned them perfectly, possibly. But that's okay. I can still share my shortcomings and my perspectives, my learnings that I received from Bhagavan. So I don't hesitate to share those. It's not that I'm going there to preach somebody. It is just more of a musing,
yes,
that I am speaking aloud.
Wow.
As I'm doing now.
Mm. Yes. So maybe you should share some of those anecdotes that you share when you reflect on your journey with Bhagavan, 12 years that you share in different retreats and Sai meetings there. Some of those very, very life-defining lessons that you have learned at his feet and which have helped you to prosper, to excel in your professional life, to be happy in your personal life. You know, because I think what Swami has always taught us is lessons for life, even as he was giving us those lessons for living. So what are those, some of those absolutely priceless takeaways from Bhagavan which have made you what you are today?
I will share one at least. So those days, with all this close proximity with Bhagavan, there were also times when we would knowingly or unknowingly do something that would cause Bhagavan's unhappiness.
Mm.
So we would probably have not raised up to his expectations, fallen short of his expectations. As we were teenagers and children, and probably we haven't properly understood his instructions, or whatever the reasons. There were several times that Swami used to be unhappy with the way we were doing things. And it is not that he hasn't told us how to do things, but we fell short.
Yeah.
So Swami used to withdraw from us and maintain silence a few times when we did fall short of his expectations to drive a message home. Not that he was angry. But he would just not come close to us. He wouldn't speak with us. So there is a silence that is being built. And having gotten used to his presence and his speaking and all that.
Very painful silence.
Very painful silence. And he would just go about doing everything, his darshan, interviews, everything, and we would sit there, we would come to Mandir, we would sit there, but no interaction.
One more day lost.
One more day lost. And I recall a few months lost.
Oh my God. Like and that. Especially in that era when Swami is interacting so much, you know, one day he doesn't talk to you also, you feel, oh my
right.
God.
Right.
What is this?
Right. So there were particularly times when 3 months at a stretch.
Oh my God.
No interaction. You can imagine how being here in his presence. And
I think each one was carrying a mountain of sorrow in there.
But then those were also the times the spiritual practice, they intensify.
Yeah. Sadhanas intensify.
Introspection
goes into new gear.
What is that we have done to offend Swami? So yes. Because he's not saying what it is.
Yeah.
It is for us, each one of us, to discover what it is and rectify.
Yes.
So there used to be longer prayer sessions in the hostel. Somebody will say, okay, let us chant Hanuman Chalisa every day, and somebody else will say, chant something else.
Yes.
And silence, so people used to take a vow of silence.
Yes, Maunam.
Because Swami used to say, speak less, but then as things would have it, the noise level would probably go up, and then everybody will say, okay, now it's time, I'm going to not speak at all for 2 days, or 3 days, whatever the time.
Yes.
So the spiritual practices increased.
Churning of the heart
took place. Introspection increased. I'm sure all the students have been through. But those days I feel it was more painful to us because we used to receive so much otherwise.
Yes, yeah.
So this would go on. And then unable to bear any longer, we would all decide to get off Swami.
Do something radical.
to somehow to catch him and bring him back to our usual relation.
Yes.
So we would plan something like that, and Swami would walk out of the inner room, and we would just bounce and surround him and start weeping in the veranda, begging him to not shun us and start speaking with us and correct us and whatever we have done. So Swami would say, look, what is the point in speaking with you? You are not following what I am asking you to follow. If you don't have you don't have value for what I am saying, then it is only best that I should remain silent. And he would say, I am not angry with you. But we can't even bear to see, but that is pain for Swami. And so we can't bear to see him, and we can't hear such words from him. So all this will go on, and then we would beg for pardon and all that. And Swami will eventually relent, and he will say, okay, whatever has happened has happened. From today onwards, start being good and all the usual instructions. I will do that. The next day, it is back to normal. The next day, it is back to normal as if nothing has happened. The 3 months of pain and separation and sorrow have all been erased, and he is back to being his usual self, jokes and talking and mess, everything back. But that's not the point. A year down the line, this would happen again. Okay? And again we would surround him, and again we will plead with him. That day again he will say, no, you know, you are not listening, and then again he will relent and so on. But never once, I don't recall him listening to this from him ever. He never says, last year also you did the same kind of things, you did not listen to me. He would not say, whatever is now, if I did something, we did something, he would say, this is what you guys are doing and not doing, so I'm unhappy, whatever. But the moment he says, past is past, from now onwards, be good, it is like you are starting off on a clean slate.
Wow.
The lesson that I derived several years later through this kind of experience was to never hold a grudge of something that an offense that somebody has done in the past. And say it has been forgiven. The next time something happens, all those old things should not pile up and say, oh, not only what you are doing today, but day before yesterday you did this, 6 months before you did this, 1 year before. We usually have that tendency to recall all those mistakes that we have already forgiven. But we haven't truly forgiven.
Yes.
They are at the back of our mind, we recall. Whereas with Swami, it was never like that.
He just forgets.
It's over. Once he says, over. Forget the past.
When it's over, it's over.
It's over. Mm. So never to keep grudge.
Wow.
That's the kind of lesson that I derived out of these experiences.
Mm. Wow. I think Swami is Nitya Nutana, as they say. He's ever fresh.
Right. He will never say, oh, I know you did this that day. Mm. He would not say.
Mm. And I think, you know, as you were saying this, it's only reflecting that, you know, we always wrote to Swami as Mother Sai, you know. Often we would write to Swami's Mother Sai. When you think about it, you know, though he has a quote-unquote a male body, but, you know, we always related to him as a Mother Sai. And that is how he was. You know, like a mother, you would forgive.
Tolerate the mistakes.
Yes. And you commit the same mistake again? After six months, you know. Actually, those times, those 3 months, if our pain was X, his pain was actually 10x.
That is so true. That is so true. How much more pain it would have caused him to not come back to us. Yes. Come and talk to
us. Just like a mother.
Right.
Just like a mother. If a mother is not talking to a child, actually the mother is suffering more than the child.
That is so true. That is so true. But he would not hold grudge.
Yeah. And I think that is a very, very powerful lesson for all of us. And then that's why he's always in Ananda.
That's right.
Yeah.
See, forgiving for him means forgiving and
yes.
Forget.
Yes, absolutely. And love lives only by
forgiving. Giving and forgiving.
And that's what you saw in
Bhagavad. See, we often say we forgive, but we don't forget what the offense they have done.
Yes. Yeah.
But true forgiving means that we totally just yes. done. We have done
yes.
with it.
Yes.
That's one very important lesson that I recall from those times.
I think this is something you can really apply in your real life, in your relationships, in your dealings with members, in your family circle, in your social circle, in your professional circle, isn't it?
That is so true. You asked about that
yes.
how you,
yes.
So these are the kind of things that I actually carry with me to not just my personal life, but also in my professional circles. All said and done, such things happen, but I think I have tried to imbibe this one lesson of not keeping grudges.
Wow. And it has really paid rich dividends.
Dividends are in the fact that the other person realizes that we don't keep grudge.
Wow.
And therefore, they understand that we mean no harm. And
yes.
So those are, you see, these things are not spoken so much in words.
Yeah.
So they are evident in the kind of interaction that you have with
yes.
your colleagues and
yes.
others.
Yeah. And people feel comfortable being with you.
You are so right.
Fantastic. You know, we have touched upon so many areas, and I know if we take on each area, we can go for 1 hour talking. It's like an capsule. 12 years of being a Swami, and after that, so many years outside living the life that Swami would want us to do, you know, to whatever extent we can. So probably we have today given a summary, and maybe next time we should take each episode and then go into, you know, into those details, because there is so much that we really need to document for the coming generations, for all those students who want to be Sai students, and for all those devotees who want to learn from these interactions that Swami blessed the students with. So thank you so much, sir, for coming to the studios. I know it's a very short window that we have, because just you've come for the conference and don't have the luxury of time now, but I'm really grateful to Swami that at least we got started. And in future, I know you keep now visiting the department off and on whenever it's possible for you. So let's pray that we continue this satsang in the near future by His grace. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to share a few of my thoughts. I do feel very privileged.
Sai Ram.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, our series of conversations with former students of Bhagwan's educational institutions. Today is July 8th, 2018, and we had the concluding ceremony of a very beautiful occasion In the history of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, it was the 25 years of the Department of Maths and Computer Science. So July 7th and July 8th had so many alumni of this department converging in Prashant Nilayam to offer their gratitude to Bhagwan for this opportunity to study mathematics and computer science at his lotus feet. If you are watching the live programs on our website, on July 7, 2018 evening, you would have seen a very moving session by these brothers presented in the Sai Kurwanth Hall, each brother going back in time to the days when Swami picked them, when Swami so lovingly nurtured them, so swamily guided how this department should grow, how he gave a focus to the department. So very, very sweet, nostalgic memories of all these brothers who have been associated with this hallowed university. And so this brought many alumni of the department from the yesteryears. So we had students who were there in the initial years of the university, initial years of the college, you know, even before the college became part of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. So in that context, it was a very beautiful get together, coming together of lovely flowers of Bhagwan's garden, whom Bhagwan has painstakingly nurtured, and they're all blooming so beautifully wherever they are. And one of these flowers is Dr. K. Shankara Subramanian. He is the first PhD student of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. And that beautiful opportunity goes to the Department of Maths and Computer Science. And he was so blessed to be guided by Bhagwan to pursue his PhD in his hallowed university. So he had the opportunity to come to Bhagwan way back in 1974. You had the Sri Sathya Sai Arts, Science and Commerce College in Vrindavan. As many of you probably would know, Swami started the college in Vrindavan in 1969. So he joined in 1974 and went on to do his BSc, Maths, Physics and Chemistry. And then he pursued his MSc also. Of course, the MSc in those days, students used to go to the Bangalore University, Central College, which is affiliated to the Bangalore University. But they used to stay in the hostel, Bhagwan's hostel in Vrindavan. And so that is how he continued to stay with Bhagwan in Vrindavan as he pursued his masters in Bangalore University. And after that, Bhagwan gave him the opportunity to come to Prashant Nilayam and teach the students. So now he had completed his bachelor's and master's, and now Swami prepared him to be a lecturer. So from 1979 till 1989, he was in Prashant Nilayam teaching the students. And even as he was teaching, more importantly, he was in the hostel living with the boys. And let me tell you that this 10 years was the initial 10 years of the Sri Sathya Sai hostel in Prashant Nilayam, because, you know, the hostel perhaps came little later. The college in Prashant Nilayam came in 1979, and probably after 1 or 2 years the hostel started. And so sir was associated in the hostel, in the setting up of the hostel. So very, very powerful, very, very revealing moments with Bhagwan, of living with Bhagwan, of learning the lessons of love from Bhagwan. And he was also part of the team that Swami took along with him when he visited Kashmir in 1980. So that was again a once in a lifetime opportunity that Bhagwan granted him. So very, very lovely moments, very precious moments with the avatar. And after he moved on from Prashant Nilayam by divine design in 1989, after that he's been in Chennai and served in various colleges. For the last 11 years he's been serving as a professor of mathematics in Sri Sairam Engineering College in Chennai. So, and he also went abroad for a little while. So he's been doing many things, very busy with Swami's work, and wherever he is, very active in being a torchbearer of what a Sai student stands for, how a Sai student should be a change agent, someone who's very, very active in in his own way, spreading the light of love that Bhagwan lit in his heart way back in 1974. In fact, he was born into a family of Sai devotees. So let's pray to Bhagwan that we have an opportunity to get a sneak of how it was in those times, and really with grateful pranams to Bhagwan that he has given us this chance today to have this conversation with Brother Shankar Subramaniam. I pray to Bhagwan and let's begin the conversation. Warm welcome to you, sir, to the studios of Radio Sai.
Sai Ram, thank you.
So, I don't know where to start.
Yeah.
Because you have so many beautiful moments, and it's like decades of being with Swami, and at a time when plenty was happening in terms of Swami's interaction with the boys. I think it was a period where Swami's involvement at the physical level was the highest.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, but maybe, you know, let's go back to where it all began. So I understand you were born into a family which already had love for Bhagwan.
Yes.
So how did that happen? Any stories about how your parents developed that faith in Bhagwan?
Yeah, my father was a great devotee of Shirdi Baba right from his childhood. And when he became an advocate or maybe a first job as a district munsif, that time he was introduced to Swami by some devotee, where some devotee gave him a photograph of Swami. And he didn't mind, he just received it. That's how Swami came into the family without any sort of much, what should I say?
Drama.
Drama, exactly. And he came in and Swami, he kept the photo framed, and he used to attend bhajans in the neighbor's house. There used to be bhajan going on there.
So he accepted that?
He just accepted. He just wanted to see what is there.
He's always a religious person.
Religious person. Mm. Being a devotee of Shirdi Baba, it's also, they say he is also an avatar of Shirdi Baba. We don't know. Mm. Let us say they are doing only good things. They are doing bhajans. So we'll attend the bhajans. That's how he got into this, Sathya Sai fold, sort of. Then around in 1960, he came first to, Swami came to Puttaparthi, during 1960. That was the time I was 2 years old. So I first saw Swami when I was 2 years old.
Wow.
So from then on, it has gone, the journey has gone on till now. We used to visit Parthi during Dasaras. So those days, Parthi, you know, only people stayed all under the trees. Swami's Prasanthi Mandiram used to be there. Yeah. In front of which there will be so many trees. And all people used to stay underneath the trees. And Swami protected everybody from all kinds of weather deviations.
And also snakes and scorpions.
You know, yeah, none of those things existed luckily during that time. And only people like Kasturi and others had one row of houses, very few of them, and a corner. But practically all the devotees used to stay under the tree. There were one or two sheds. Those days there used to be a separate shed, one shed for gents and another shed for ladies. They never stayed together. Except underneath the trees people can stay as families. And those days there's a very small canteen. So whenever we come to Parthi, we'll come with all paraphernalia, even a cooking stove, kerosene stove, plus all the other powders, the dal powders and some rice and pepper powder. We'll just bring it here, pack and bring in buckets. For those few days where we stay, we used to cook. My mother used to cook underneath the tree.
Oh my God.
Apart from darshan timings, the cooking will go on here. And wonderful thing about those days is that Swami used to come down and go into the crowd. He used to see what people are cooking. And
really?
Yeah, that used to be there.
Oh my God.
Those were the days like that. Wonderful days in 60s. Yeah.
Wow.
That's how it went on.
So you have some memories as a kid, as a teenager.
Yeah. And that time my father had a wonderful experience. You know, that was the time. Once he had a very severe rheumatic trouble, and fever also. One doctor advised that he should be taken to Chennai, some big hospitals like Stanley Medical and things like that. He was, and one senior judge also said, no, I'll take care of you, please come there. Don't stay in that small village town wherever you're working now. He said, I will not come anywhere. If at all I die, I will die at Puttaparthi, at Swami's feet. So for me, the only doctor is Swami, and I'll go like this in this condition. I'll go to Parthi.
Mm-hmm.
So we are all small children.
So he was not able to walk or something?
He was finding a lot of difficulty. Yeah, he had knee problem, knee pains and fever and all that.
Uh-huh.
With all that, we traveled. We are all children. No, that time we didn't even know how to react.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever father says, yes, we'll go. Only my mother must have felt all the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And so once he says, that's it. Nobody can say anything. So we packed and then we traveled to Parthi.
Mm-hmm.
And we stayed, reached Parthi by evening, and we used to have a rexin piece of cloth along, we'll bring along when we go to Parthi to put on the sand for settling. We mark our own square, you know,
under the tree.
Spread that, spread the rexin cloth. That will be our area.
Mm.
So we came and we were so tired. We ate something. We slept off, and whole night it had rained. It had rained, and
you didn't realize.
No, we were all so tired. We just slept.
Oh my God!
In the rain, and we woke up and found that this water flowing around our rexin piece of cloth, and our rexin piece, and we were not wet.
Really?
We were not wet.
Oh my God.
And people didn't even know this. As usual, people were minding their own business. They got up in the morning, they went for their morning course. You know, people were busy trying to come for darshan quickly. So Swami, those days darshan used to be in the veranda. Swami used to come along the veranda, upper veranda, used to walk along.
Prashant
He'll give darshan from veranda, upper veranda. People were standing down and looking at Swami upwards. Swami used to go from his living room. Swami's dining hall used to be on the other side.
Mm.
Swami will walk towards his dining room for breakfast. So that was the first darshan people have of Swami.
Mm.
So we all got up, and at that time it so happened that nobody knew anything. My father, we were so tired. We also got up a bit late. By the time it was darshan time, and we all got up and we ran and just go and stand. That's all. Just go. Swami is coming. Go and stand. Just look at Swami. That's it. And very few people around that time. And Swami, from the veranda, Swami looked at my father and, you know, patted with his palm on his own head like this and started laughing at my father.
Oh.
And Pichivadu like that. Something like that. He said something and started laughing.
So, and like, then, Swami patted his own head to show that, you are a mad person or something like that.
Something like that.
Meaning like something like that.
And smiled and laughed and moved away. And we are so happy.
Do you realize what you have done?
After that, he realized that he was completely alright. There was no knee pain, nothing. He was normal. He has run for darshan. No fever, no whole rheumatic thing vanished overnight. This is greatest miracle that happened to him at that time. Whereas he was suffering at home for nearly a few weeks, lying down. He gave up everything. He did not want to go to any doctor. He came to complete faith in Swami, rush to Swami. And then Swami cured him overnight. Then he finds that he is perfectly okay.
Wow.
That was a experience. That's a good old days experience.
Mm.
Another experience which he had in the early formative days when became a devotee of Swami. He was the district munsif in one town. He took up, he had taken up a very old suit. See, there are very small cases as well as very big ones, you know. Very big cases which run for days and months and years. Okay. And some of them, even the parties are not satisfied with the judgment, they go up to Supreme Court for appeal. And even they are not satisfied with the Supreme Court judgment, sometimes that case is, you know, brought down to a lower court within a different jurisdiction. It goes for again another trial from the lower court. That's how he took up one suit without knowledge of it, and without knowing how serious it is going to be. And he very sincerely studied the whole case. He used to spend nights looking into all the documents and referring to all the old court judgments given, cited by all the other, both the parties' advocates. And he was not satisfied with any of those observations. He wanted to give really a perfect judgment for that case, which was still eluding him, rather. And the judgment, they fixed the judgment date before itself. On this particular day, we'll give the judgment like that. The judgment day is already fixed. So that day was nearing, and he was not able to come to conclusion. He was tense. He didn't know what to do. Then in his office room upstairs, he used to have a photo of Swami on the wall, you know. In those days, the print photos only used to be available in Parthi. One of them, you know, Swami with yellow robe with Abhayahastam sitting on a chair. That photo was there. And he looked at Swami's photo sitting in his chair. Swami, what is this? I have no way out. I don't know what to do. And he, tears was flowing. Then, at that moment when you are seeing, it was around 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock at night. A star came out of Swami's eyes. A star like what we call as the light insect, something we call, no? That which the one which glows.
Glowworm.
Glowworm. That it came out of Swami's eyes, a star-like light. And he was wondering whether it is something, somehow, some kind of an imagination by himself, because he has tears in his eyes. Maybe some light interaction, something he is looking at. Then he wiped his tears and again saw it was still there. And it started moving. The spark started moving. It started coming down. He was just following the spark where it was going. And the room's one corner, there was a book rack. All the legal books arranged. Bookshelf. And the spark started going towards that. Those books. And it entered into one of the books. It's a big volume, okay, running to 1,000 pages. And he immediately pushed his chair back and rushed to that book. And opened that book. And you see, Swami, you know, we always say, whenever whatever Swami does it perfectly, you know. Nobody can be so absolutely perfect like Swami. Anything he does, it is totally perfect. The star, he kept on, so many pages, he kept on moving the pages. It waited till he came to that page, that vision, that star was right on top of the page. And the star started moving slowly downwards. It came into one, it's a lot of paragraphs in that page. You know, legal books is very narrowly typed and printed. You know, there never used to be 1.5 spacing like what we have now. So it came to a particular line and vanished. He read those lines. Those were the sentences which became the exact required words for the judgment of that particular case.
Wow.
It exactly fitted to his case, and he found that very satisfying, and he pronounced judgment on that, and he got appreciation from his higher up officials from High Court. It's a good thing that you have closed this case.
Wow.
And that, because he was a very junior most judge doing this, it was a great thing for them. So that is how Swami, you know, protected him in his work job.
So it was a great achievement professionally.
It's a great achievement professionally for him. It's a big thing for him.
And nobody knows that Swami was...
In turn, it strengthened his faith in Swami also. Because first time he has come to Swami in 1960, this must have happened in 62 or 63, this particular instance.
Initial years of his Swami, coming to Swami.
That's how. We were all sleeping there. We didn't know. Next day morning when we woke up, he is telling all this to us.
Oh, he told all that.
He told all this to us. This is what happened.
Wow.
And we were also thrilled. Wow. So we were very small that time, we didn't understand. After some years only, we came to know all the details of this.
But even, I think it was because of he had developed that much tremendous faith that, you know, even the facilities were so rudimentary, absolutely no facilities in Parthi, you know, giving up a comfortable home and everything. It was, you know, anything was no sacrifice to come to Parthi.
From then onwards, that moment onwards, everything is Swami for him. He was so strong. When he was a judge later on, when he dealt with criminal cases, sometimes, you know, he used to get letters written in blood saying that if you convict me, we'll kill your family and things like that. And he'll receive anonymous letters. We were all children. We never knew about all. My mother and father never revealed it to us. He will just take that, fold it and keep it under Swami's chair. We had a Swami's chair in our home. My father used to lift the pillow and then put it underneath. My father had kept a pillow, for the photo to rest. He'll put that letter underneath. Swami, now it is yours. You will take care.
Wow.
That is how his whole life has gone on.
Fantastic. Wow. So you already were like so deeply...
Exactly.
Faith was always there.
Yes.
But I think once you became a student, you would have experienced that love of Swami.
Exactly. That is how it is. We used to see Swami from far.
Mm.
It's nice to be very close. You always used to, you know, and you know, I should tell you, when I joined Vrindavan.
So you wanted to join or your father wanted you to join?
This is another thing I should tell you at this stage. One thing, very important thing I should tell you.
Mm.
After I finished my PUC, those days to be one year PUC, affiliate to Madras University. The plus two used to be with university those days.
It is pre-university.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? After your 10th.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. After 11th. 11th after was 11th. Our SSLC.
Oh, okay.
After 11th, SS school leaving certificate.
Okay.
1 year used to be a pre-university course with the university.
Uh-huh.
The university itself trains you.
Okay.
Then you go for your degree course.
Degree course. Okay.
That was like that. So I was in a place called Erode in Tamil Nadu. That is where I finished my PUC. And those days engineering was not that famous.
Mm.
But still many boys used to apply. I never had interest in going to IIT and all that. Never applied. And I thought, why not apply for state level engineering colleges? Those days used to be common. We used to just apply, that's all. And there will be a board interviewing the candidates.
Mm.
And there will be 4 or 5 locations announced. You have to choose your location for your interview. Then the committee will come and talk to you, interview you, see whether you can be a good engineer. And then only they will admit you.
Mm.
Of course, merit based first and then other things to go with. And then, like that, I also applied for engineering course and I did get an interview date also as 1st June in Coimbatore. The Erode Coimbatore is nearby.
Mm.
Then that was during that particular vacation period. My cousin's parents, my father's sister and husband, they were with us for a few days. My cousin was already a student in Vrindavan, in pre-university course.
Mm-hmm.
There it used to be a plus two junior college like that, those days pre-university course in Karnataka. He had already joined in commerce group. And looking at him there as a student also, I had that interest. They go inside, they see Swami goes to hostel. And that type of interest was also there. I mean, everything was mild, you know. I was not very too serious about anything.
Mm.
Then when they had come and they said, why not you join him, this boy in Vrindavan, it'll be good, like that. They just casually mentioned.
Who your father?
My aunt and my uncle.
Hmm.
Then my father asked, hey, what do you do? Because you applied for engineering, what do you want to do?
Hmm.
Then I said, I don't want engineering. Immediately on the spot decision, I think it is given by Swami only. That moment, the decision, Swami gave it. Then I will go to Swami's college.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind BSc. Swami's college is fine for me.
Mm-hmm.
I will not go. There was another motivating factor for this. There is something else happened during that month vacation time.
Mm-hmm.
1974 vacation time.
Mm-hmm.
Swami performed Upanayanam of all the summer course students in Vrindavan.
Mm-hmm.
During that time, even some of the boys in Vrindavan hostel who needed the Upanayanam to be done, Swami asked them also to join.
Mm-hmm.
That time, my cousin also was one of the students, enlisted for Upanayanam.
Mm-hmm.
My father, what we used to do those days, whenever we had summer vacation, we never went to any relative's house or anything. We used to go to wherever Swami is, Puttaparthi or Vrindavan. Mostly in Swami used to be in Vrindavan, 72, 73, 74.
Yes.
In line, there were summer courses going on in Vrindavan, 1 month summer course.
Mm.
So it's always good to find a room in nearby village, Balathur or Kadugudi, pay some rent, and every evening come and morning have darshan of Swami. Evening, just sit outside. There used to be speakers kept, outside on the trees.
Mm. Mm.
The summer course used to go on behind Swami's bungalow. There used to be a separate shed built, separate sort of a hall built with thatched roofing.
Mm-hmm.
And everything will go on there. But they kept a speaker outside to hear Swami's discourse for public people, devotees.
So you can't see Swami.
We can't see Swami. We'll just sit underneath the tree, listen to Swami's discourse and go back and have food and sleep. One month, this was our routine.
Mm-hmm.
And just have morning darshan.
Mm-hmm.
So when this was announced, and it so happened, this is the month of May. April, my father had fixed our Upanayanam because already we had grown. I was a PUC, means, you know, my age. It's more than the suitable age for performing Upanayanam. My brother also is a small boy. He was okay. He was of correct age. But my father felt with under pressure from relatives also. He performed our Upanayanam in our native place.
Already performed
that during the month of April, 74. So we already had the thread across, thread. Then when we came to know that Swami is performing Upanayanam, we felt very sad. Oh my God, these devotees are also, we can also try. See, and my father said, suddenly he said, no, my father is, why I am saying this experience is, again an additional point to express my father's faith, you know, in Swami. Swami, my father said, come on, let us also get ready in the morning. We'll also sit like other boys with all that, you know, gacham and all that, with pacha gacham, with all that, you know, angavastram. We'll sit. If Swami calls us, we will go. Otherwise, we will not go. I used to get upset as a boy, you know. Already we have put, you know, we have got a thread. We look, you know, odd if we go and sit with already a thread on our body, and then people will be watching us. Why this fellow already having a thread coming for Upanayanam again? We'll make, you know, we'll cut sari figures.
Look funny.
You know. Look funny, exactly. And we didn't know what to do. And I was feeling like that. Now, my father's orders, that's all, we have to silently obey. Actually, we were in that attire, came and sat for darshan, you know, Vrindavan darshan those days. Gents will be sit along, you know, on one side and along the path leading to the main gate of Vrindavan. From Swami's entrance gate, bungalow gate, through the main gate, along a line and along the villa avenue of trees, you know, people assemble. Ladies on the other side, gents on this side, and Swami will walk along in the middle. Swami came along, came for darshan. He just didn't bother to see much, you know. We were sitting there, went on the lady's side. Just went, we had Swami's darshan, that's it. Swami went back inside. And then we were just standing. We said, okay, that's it, done. Then there, after some few minutes, after Swami went inside, so things were getting ready in the pandal, no? Place where samakos was held. They removed all the chairs for the purpose of this Upanayanam ceremony. And suddenly, an information comes from inside. A Sevadal volunteer at the gate is announcing that whichever boy is undergoing Upanayanam, his relative, one person can accompany the parents. One person Swami has allowed. So, like that, the announcement comes. Then we were wondering, my relatives means my mother, my father, and us, we, two of us. So then, my father said, my allowed my mother to go in along with my aunt. Okay, you go, my father said, and we were just outside the mandir gate and waiting, just watching what is going on. A lot of brisk movements, people going inside and out. And my mother went inside. After a few 10-15 minutes, I see my mother coming, running outside with tears. Even when I think of it now, I get emotional. She comes out running and she's not able to talk also. Said, Swami is calling, come. we are just devotees, you know. No nearness, closeness to Swami. Swami is calling. Then we didn't know what to do. We also ran, no? My father was also in tears. Ran inside and Swami said, you also sit. And what happened, we asked. See, I was there with my mother told my father, I was there along with your sister, going inside. Swami, you know, normally when things are happening, Swami will supervise, you know, with his keeping both the hands at the back, moving around and, you know, trying to find out everything is all right. And he just looks at that moment my mother enters and my aunt has gone forward. Suddenly Swami looks at my mother and says, where are your children? Bring them in. That's two words spoken from Swami.
Wow.
That's all. Nothing else was needed. No, we all came in. We sat along with them. We were bold, no? So I said, my father said, no problem. You show your thread, no problem. And the Upanayanam new threads were distributed. Swami did Gayatri. Swami put all the threads on everybody. Swami came around, did everything. And Swami, you know, we were, you know, sort of, they call that, you know, second birth. This yes. Upanayanam thing is to be called as second birth.
Second birth.
Swami gave us second birth second time. Then later on my father found out that it seems it is in Shastras at some points of time, in some cases, this is required to be done. Oh. So maybe we come under that category, Swami has blessed us like that, no?
Wow.
It was that happened. Because that Upanayanam happened, now I am connecting with this. That I got more motivated to go to Vrindavan.
Oh, that
happened during that vacation.
Mm.
So we had come back home.
Mm.
So that time my aunt and uncle, they said, why not this fellow join the Vrindavan College? I said, okay, now I've been given Upanayanam by Swami and then I got motivated, more interested.
Mm.
So engineering became secondary to me.
Mm.
I said, accept. And you know one thing. Swami didn't leave it at that. Interview card come. At the time I don't know whether I'm going to be called or I'm going to get admission or not. Nothing I knew. The interview card from Vrindavan College comes, and the interview card interview date and time coincides with the interview date and time of the engineering college in Coimbatore. And it's a question of choice. Swami says, come on, I'm giving you option. Even now it's not too late, you decide. I said, done, I've decided. I tore away the engineering admission card. Wow. Then I am going to Vrindavan.
Amazing.
And that's how I came to Vrindavan. Looking at the +2 marks, I had distinction in 3 subjects with 200 out of 200 in mathematics. And Principal Narendra and that time Professor Nanjundaya was also sitting. He was a commerce professor at that time.
Yes.
They were the board members, you know, admitting students.
Mm.
They were very much impressed with the marks. They thought, this boy, if he comes in, he'll get some rank for our college. We should have him and all that.
Mm.
And then they gave it straight away admission. But one thing, Shankar Swaroonan, we cannot give you hostel admission. You have to wait till Swami says.
Mm-hmm.
That's how Principal Narendra very softly spoke. And
so the college has started.
College at that time didn't start.
Oh.
It took some time. Admission got completed, and then they said, "You please go home and come.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have few more weeks to start.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one more week. You don't have to stay outside.
Mm-hmm. It'll
be difficult for you." And they sent me home.
Mm-hmm.
I immediately took the train and went home. And they said, "This is what they said." But at that whatever date they mentioned, I came back home. Came back to Vrindavan. Alone, and then I found that hostel admission had not been given. Still, I had to stay outside and attend college. You know?
So you're allowed to be part of the college?
Part of the college, yeah.
But you can't stay in the hostel.
You can't stay in the hostel. We were on quite a few of us like that outside, staying outside.
Mm-hmm.
And hostel bhajan used to go on upstairs,
mm-hmm.
and in the evenings, those days Vrindavan used to be, when Swami is not there, it used to be absolutely silent, quiet place,
mm-hmm.
you know. So what we will all do is, we will go, hostel used to be near the gate, you know, just opposite to Sairam Shed.
Yes.
Bhajan used to go on upstairs, we will hear the bhajans, hostel bhajans, we will just sit outside in the Sairam Shed, attend the bhajan from outside quietly and go for our dinner in some hotel.
Mm.
You know, the quite 2-3 hotels were there in Kadugudi village, somewhere we will eat something and go to bed. That's how life was for a few days, I think maybe around 2 weeks or so. Then only a list was announced. At that time we were told that Swami will only select these students for the hostel. So you have to wait until then. Then we were waiting, and then one fine day the college had a very devoted and dedicated staff member, non-teaching faculty by name Mr. Amarnath,
mm-hmm.
those days. I don't know whether you have seen him. He used to be an errand boy sort of thing for the principal.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew us because we were all staying. He is very kind to the boys who are staying outside.
So you had a tough time staying outside.
Yeah. He used to be very, very kind with us. Mm-hmm. He was just an attender. He is everything all in all, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They used to say, you know, one man railway station, a guard and, you know, linesman, everything used to be one person.
Mm-hmm.
Those days, such situations existed like that. This person used to all ring the bell, also be a clerk, also collect fees for the college.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he used to do. Also maintain records.
Mm-hmm.
So one man used to do everything those days.
Mm-hmm.
So he was very, very kind. He said, as soon as Swami, when the list was announced, the list, Swami ticked the list from Parthi, from here.
Mm-hmm.
The list was sent to Vrindavan.
Mm-hmm.
Said the list was put up on the notice board. He saw me coming. Hey, Shankar Swaroonan, your name is Shankar, right? You have been selected. You have been so blessed by Swami. He announced, you know, even now I remember that that joy which I had, with the joy which he reflected. He was so happy to tell me that.
Wow.
So it was a wonderful feeling that time. Then I immediately, you know, those days, no cell phones, nothing. Go somewhere, ring, put a call, and then try to inform. It happened like that.
So that's how.
Then we were told Swami ticks names, you know, around 100 names were there and some 40 were ticked.
Oh.
Yes.
So everyone who got admission into college were automatically not in the hostel.
Some they rejected.
Some rejected.
Must have been told already to leave or something. That part.
Only those whom Swami personally chose.
Yes.
Got to stay in the hostel.
Yeah, that's how it became.
Wow.
Then we stayed there, and then the rest of the big story again. The life with Vrindavan was a golden period. Those 3 years, 74 to 77, was a very golden period.
Wow.
Yeah. And right from the day, Swami, the first day he reached Vrindavan with we students, new boys, as soon as he came, ekkada kotta pillalu pilu, he said, all, he is so fond of kotta pillalu, call all the new boys.
New boys.
And he said, they went up, we didn't know all this, that he was sort of, you know, he was a bit angry, you know, posing as angry with the old boys. And then he straightway kotta pillalu matram paika ramman jappu. He called all the new boys upstairs.
Yeah.
And he gave us hot sweets and so many things to eat, and talked to us so lovingly. There used to be one so small sofa on the veranda upstairs. So we all sat around him, and Swami, how fortunate we are, and all, Swami spoke for some time. So you must obey the discipline of this place and bring credit to your parents and please Swami, that should be your aim. Swami was telling so many things, and then we came down, and then onwards Swami said, you can all come up anytime you want. And we were the first batch to go upstairs and come down.
So anytime you can go up to Swami's room?
Go upstairs, stand in the veranda. Not enter Swami's room. Swami will come out anytime, he'll keep sitting there talking
to
us.
So you can be in that veranda. The moment Swami opens the door, he can see.
Yes. And then Swami will come down, he has to go walk along the veranda, go to his dining hall. Dining hall was in a different location. At the other end of the veranda. So like that, you know, Swami used to go to the dining hall. We'll wait till he finishes his dinner or lunch. Then after he finished, he'll come out, he'll talk to us, he'll sit and talk to us. Whenever it is to be time for our college or their lunch or dinner or breakfast, he'll send us down. Come on, go down. That is to be the day. The whole day used to go on in Swami's presence.
Wow.
We hardly, you know, sort of like, we hardly studied. You know, we'll come back after Swami sort of close the doors around 8:30. Then only we'll start our studies. Or 9:30 we'll feel sleepy, and we'll put our beds on the hostel dining hall table. You know, kadapa slab table used to be there. We'll just spread our bed on the table, just lie down and read for some time, sleep off. That used to be the wonderful period those days. Swami used to come to class suddenly. These classrooms are very near Swami's bungalow. So whenever Swami goes out or comes in, we know Swami is going out, and Ben's, he used to go, and the whole place used to be silent, and we could hear Swami's car going out. Even during the class hours, we will know Swami is going out, Swami is coming in. Like that. And suddenly, without notice now, we'll all be sitting in the class, and some chemistry, some class will go on. Swami will come and quietly enter and sit in the back seat.
Oh my God.
And it is, I've written, you know, in that poem also. It's a great, you know, time we used to have. And for us, it'll all be great joy, whereas for the teacher, it'll all be tension. Those few minutes. And I did have that moment when I became a teacher.
Oh.
That was a much later experience.
In Parthi?
Parthi.
Oh my God.
In the first year of my college as a lecturer, one fine morning, Swami suddenly entered my room. That is another great funny story. I'll tell you at some other time. Yeah, that's how our life in Vrindavan used to be. And I told you, first year, Swami decided to celebrate college day. So first year, Swami decided to celebrate college day.
In 1975.
My first year was 74-75 academic year. So within 2-3 months of our joining, Swami started planning. Swami said, why not we should have a drama? We should have a play. And Swami said, during Dasara this was decided. And he asked Principal Narendra, why don't you write a... I think Swami told Professor Narendra to write a script for Bhajagovindam. Bhajagovindam drama started very first at that time. And Bhajagovindam drama and the cast has seen so many revisions, you know, but the script had remained the same. Mm-hmm. For so many batches of students have gone through that exercise, I should say. Mm-hmm. Swami sort of, you know, got into us that Advaita, you know, what is Advaitam, you know, mm-hmm. Shankara's philosophy, by going through these verses and the meanings, you know, in terms of conversations. That was the whole script was like that.
Mm.
Each scene used to be one verse.
Yes.
And then somebody will be there enacting that. Some family people or some learned teacher used to be reading grammar. All those stories, you know, will happen and Shankara will come and advise. Either the rich man, say, Ma Kuru Dhana Jana Yavana Garvam. He'll tell this grammar reading man, Punarapi Jannam, Punarapi Jannam. All those things, you know, yes. that Dukkurun Karane, that line, that is to be the whole drama. And Professor Principal Narendra wrote it very beautifully. Swami liked it very much. And that was the first time the rehearsal started and Swami was with us for nearly 3 months. We had rehearsal in presence of Swami. Every odd time we'll just go inside and Swami will come. Swami had a separate dining hall on the ground floor also. A big hall, a dining hall. Not used as dining hall, it's a big hall, and Swami will come and sit there. It's a lot of big space, so that is for, you know, Shankara and disciples, you know, 12 of them on either side, 6 on this side, 6 on that side. It was, you need more space.
Mm.
And every time you have to come in a line behind Shankara singing this Bhajagovindam and all that. So Swami used to come and sit, and we had a wonderful time those three.
So you were part of the drama?
Part of the drama. I was one of the disciples. Swami chose me. Again, Swami chose the cast. Mm-hmm. Swami saw all the boys. Swami himself picked who should be the... Swami, that's when Swami picked Rupak, my classmate.
Mm.
Rupak, you know, was very close to Swami for a long time.
Mm.
Rupak was chosen as Shankaracharya, and our Ravi Kumar, myself, you know, present Vrindavan. Warden, he was also one of the disciples. We were all the first batch, you know. And I remember I was the disciple by name Anandagiri of Shankaracharya. I had some question to ask and all that. Very limited thing, but we used to always accompany him. And we had a wonderful time with Swami those 3 months. Hardly any studies. In classes sometimes, Swami used to be in Vrindavan. By afternoon, we will be called. By 1:32, we will go. We'll be sitting in Swami till 5 o'clock. And then Swami will come out for darshan. Again, after bhajan, Swami will say, come for another 1 hour. Then he'll go up. So, any time, you know, like that. So, whenever Swami felt like listening, seeing, he'll call.
Hmm.
And normally it happens, you know, Swami will see one scene and he'll talk a lot. About, you know, all these verses. And then the thing will go on very slowly. But Swami went through every bit of it those days. And then Swami arranged the college day and called one minister of state government as the chief guest. And then the stage was put up in the Sairam shed itself with all the cloth and all that. Behind, you know, there was all that was a dressing room, you know, backside. And the drama also was a big. Swami was very happy with the play when it went on that day. And immediately decided, so happy that now I'll be going in May to Dharma Chetra anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
We'll stage this there in Bombay also. We'll all go to Bombay, Swami said.
Wow.
That's another boost for us.
Wow.
Again, 75 May. This happened 75 March. Immediately for Dharma Chetra anniversary, May, first week or so. We again, Swami arranged everything. We booked tickets to Bombay.
The entire thing traveled
in train.
Wow.
We went to Bombay via Miraj. I still remember those journeys, singing bhajans in the train. Full carriage was, compartment was full of our boys. And passed through many wonderful places like Pandharpur and all that, very holy places we passed through. We reached Bombay and... that was another beautiful period, those few days with Swami. We stayed in Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan, Bhavan's hostel, and used to come every morning to Dharma Chetra. That was the time, first time this even stupa was inaugurated.
Uh-huh.
This stupa, first stupa was built and inaugurated by Swami in Dharma Chetra. Then only Swami got it done in Parthi. So that inauguration time, we were all there singing bhajans. That was also the time when Jalota sang songs, you know. That was the time when he came closer to Swami, Anup Jalota. So that was the time.
Wow.
And Swami came with us. It was again the drama was staged in Shanmukhananda Hall, the famous place in Mumbai. And It was a big success. Again, Swami was so happy, and Swami came along with us. Come on, let us go for a tour of Mumbai. In the evening, in the bus, he arranged a bus. In the night, Swami got into the bus, and we had a full tour of Mumbai. You know, Swami started correcting the guide who was announcing the bike. No, tappu cheptunadu. Hey, this is this. This is Swami was telling us extra additional information. You see that? That is this. This building. It was really wonderful. And Swami came along the aisle. I still remember one. I always tell everybody in this particular thing. Swami looked close into each one's eyes, you know. Then in the dark bus, he came to us. Each one know who is sitting there. Two seater, no, on either sides. Who is the fellow like that, no, coming close and seeing. It was a very thrilling experience. Swami coming close to you and seeing that it's a dark room, no, bright eyes, no. Only Swami's eyes was bright in, even though the bus was, you know, no lighting inside the bus. They had switched off the lights. And there used to be only the lights that are coming from outside as the bus is moving. You know, in the city, the bus is moving. It was like that. It was a wonderful time we had.
Wow.
We had dinner with Swami, lunch with Swami, whenever we were there in Dharmakshetra. So
that was a 3-4 days trip to
Dharmakshetra? That was, yeah, 3-4 days. That's the first time that kind of trip we had with Swami.
Maybe one of those first. Means I have heard about Swami directing the Veda Pathshala boys to do dramas.
Yes, yes. Much earlier.
Much earlier. So Parthi. I think this is after the normal colleges started.
Exactly.
Perhaps this was the first time.
First play, yes.
Swami stage.
First play he did.
Wow. And I think, you know, when we look at all these plays, these are the Lord's plays to give us more time.
Exactly. Exactly. This is a real learning. Swami used to tell, you know, we casually say, if I had told your parents, please send your boys for the purpose of Atma Vidya. Nobody would have sent you all here.
Yeah, for self-realization,
nobody would have sent you. So, I have to give these, you know, false things like degrees and things like that, and they'll get attracted to these things and they'll send you. So, this is very similar to, Swami gave a comparison. This is very similar to how Yashoda used to treat Krishna. Deal with Krishna. Yashoda wanted to punish Krishna, chastise him. So, she couldn't directly show the stick at Krishna. So, she will hide the stick behind in one hand and show butter with the other hand. And Krishna will come running through looking at the butter. Right. Once she comes near, catches him and he'll give him with the two sticks, with the stick, two shots. So, that is how I have come to, you know, treat you and make you a better human being. The purpose of being here is that, not these degrees. I am not after all this. I have my own mission. I wanted to that mission to go through this system of education. I have to get it done. Though this is the means that I have adopted. So that's how you are all here. You are all very fortunate. So remember that. Don't forget. So he used to tell us like that.
So actually, when you look at it, you know, those were the formative years of the Swami system of education. Isn't it? I mean, everything that we see today, which are tenets of Satya Sai's system of education, everything started at that point in time, isn't it?
Yeah. Swami also used to reveal now and then that, you know, that the biggest part is, generally about God, we all know God is all-knowing, omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent. It's very different to get an experience of that. Swami letting you know that he knows everything, you know. That's the biggest lesson, you know, that's a driving force for you to, for the transformation that is required in you.
Correct.
Transformation takes place once this, if this experience comes that your awareness that he knows everything and he is capable of everything.
Correct.
He can come to your help at any time. And that's how he is to give lots of experiences to boys. And so every student must have had some experience or the other. That way I had an experience during my third year BSc. And that was the time we had a chemistry practical examination at the college. And we used to have two kinds of experiments to be performed in 3 hours' time. One is a double salt analysis. Other one is on titration sort of experiment. And half the set of boys will be given one experiment. The other half will be given the other experiment. During half time, we will interchange. By the time we would have completed the first one, we will have to go for the other experiment. So that is to be the arrangement. So first I got first this titration experiment. There what happens is used to, they'll give a material in a flask, we have to dilute it, and then that solution we have to use it for our experiment. So we have to sort of a reaction we have to measure, and through a burette we have to allow the liquid to go down, and when the color change happens we have to stop the flow and note down the readings. That is the way we do the titration experiments. And I started doing, and two times I got it correctly. Normally two times you perform and the answer, you, both the times your readings are same, then you must be right, and you note down that reading and then make calculations, and that experiment will be completed. And I did twice, and I got more or less, you call them as concurrent values.
Mm.
We got concurrent value. I got two times concurrent values. I wanted to stop and proceed to write out the calculation details. I, instead of keeping quiet, I see during examination we are not supposed to talk to the neighboring student.
Mm.
But in my own anxiety, it's not a theory examination, it's not a copying, but you know, in my own anxiety I asked my neighbor, see, look here fellow, I've got two times the same concurrent value, shall I write it off? Then he says, hey, why don't you try once more, man? What do you lose? You got liquid, no, you got solution with you, still it is there, you can use it. So why did, it is not exhausted, so you can still use it.
Mm.
So try once again. He said and went away. Then okay, since he has told, I tried. The third time when I tried, the value that I got was totally different from what I got the first two times.
Oh.
I got scared.
Mm.
Then I repeated fourth time.
Oh.
The fourth time value was different from the first three times values.
Oh my God.
Something is happening to me. I started getting jittery and nervous. And very little liquid is left. Fifth time I try, again it is different. I got totally confused. No more liquid solution to use for examination. They cannot give me again second time. Now I am left alone, left in the lurch. Okay, I have to decide what to do. And that was a moment, no, my blood froze, because I have never been a sort of a failure student.
Mm.
And I shouted aloud, you know, within myself, Sai Ram, Swami, what has happened? It was deep from inside, no, that literally it was a yelling, you know, it came within me.
Mm.
And said, Swami, I have no choice now. Now it is all left to you. Okay, I am putting the burden upon you. I am going to enter a value on my own. You make it correct, I do not know. And said, I wrote some 23.8 or something, and calculation I finished, and by the time I finished this so many times repetitions, I lost time for the other experiment that is still pending.
Mm.
I still had only half an hour.
Mm.
And luckily that turned out to be easy for me.
Mm.
I could immediately conclude what that is, and then I didn't take much time, I finished it. Then I came out very sad, said my practice is gone. I don't know what's going to happen. The marks, maximum marks is to be 30. 70 theory, 30 practicals. And I came out, and all my friends, you know, all my classmates, oh, I got three times concurrent values, I got four times. It was perfect, exact, and all, they were all boosting off. You know, it made me feel more sad.
Mm.
I didn't know what to do. I said, what man, why, what happened? You said you were getting two. No man, you told me, I continued, and it's what happened. I became totally dejected. Those days it used to be like this. It's sort of, you know, such an affinity, you know, between the students and staff and Swami, all the whole system, the college system also Swami used to be very much interested in. Swami used to be very inquisitive about everything.
Mm-hmm.
If an examination goes on, Swami should immediately know in the evening how the boys performed.
Mm-hmm.
So what they will do, these marks are confidential.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, still they will, for the sake of Swami, our internal examiner will take a copy of those marks. Okay. And then hardly we were 10 or 12 students in the class. So it's not a difficult job to do.
Mm.
So copy of the marks, noted it down, and it used to go to Swami.
Mm.
So Swami will know the marks before us. We won't know.
Mm.
Okay. Sometimes it will come to us. Otherwise, sometimes we may not know.
Mm.
Only when the marks card comes, we will know.
Mm.
And Swami, as soon as Swami, we all assembled in safe room. As usual, waiting for Swami inside. And Swami, normally when he comes down the staircase, he goes into the safe room, you know, there used to be a mirror, he used to just look into it, and then before he goes for darshan, mm-hmm. he'll make himself ready some little bit. You know, mm-hmm. take a comb and do something.
Mm-hmm.
So, all this in front of students, you know. He mm-hmm. won't bother. He won't, he'll, you know, Swami, you know, Swami is the one person, he can either notice the presence of 1,000 people, or he can totally ignore all of them as if there is no one is there, he'll go and come out. He used to be very, you know, he went in, did all that, and came out. And said, he came, and on the way back, in the safe room, he came to us, and he came directly to me. Amy, sent person vachinda?
Mm-hmm.
Swami directly telling me, what, have you got, with a wink of an eye,
mm-hmm.
Eyelid, have you got 100%? Chesko. Swami knew my marks.
Mm-hmm.
Swami knew it is me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The, even though, you see, that's about Swami.
Mm-hmm.
There never used to be a, I was not a farm boy, you know, sort mm-hmm. of. I was one among the many.
Mm-hmm.
But he came straight to me and said, you got 110% marks.
Mm-hmm.
And take namaskar. I was shocked. I was in tears. I didn't know how come.
How did it happen?
I took namaskar. Then said, he went about quietly. Then when came out and found out that myself and one more boy, only two of us got 30 out of 30
oh.
in the lab.
Oh
there, God. The valuation, how it is, you know, you must know how the valuation is. I enter a value, 23.8.
Mm.
Suppose the correct value has been 23.6. The examiner will know, because they are given the material to you,
right.
They will know how much it should be, your value should be.
Mm.
So they see the error.
Mm-hmm.
The percentage of error that you have committed in your experiment, accordingly marks will be reduced.
Mm.
The fact that I got 100% means the reading that came to my mind at that time after my shouting Sai Ram was 100% correct value.
Right.
This was not based on any of the values that I had noted down previously. That's again a...
It's just out of that moment of intense surrender and prayer.
The value that came to my mind, I entered. That became Swami coming and telling me, I got 100%. That too with winking an eyelid. No, it's an indication, you fellow, I had heard your prayers. Nothing else he spoke.
Wow.
That is a terrific experience.